Bible with you, you could turn to Jeremiah 33:3. Jeremiah 33:3. The word of the Lord says, "Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know." Amen. All right, keep your finger on that verse. All right, hallelujah. Amen. If you're glad to be in the house of God today, let me say, yeah. It is good to be in the presence of God and in the saints of his saints. Amen. Amen. It's good. When I visited New York this past month, I got to do a lot of things. I got to preach at my home church. I got to meet with my supporters. And I was also meeting with a lot of potential supporters because I'm in a desperate need to raise my support. I preached at Columbia KCCC. I also got to preach at the regional prayer meeting for New York KCCC. It was a powerful time at the regional prayer meeting. I got convicted. I got really convicted by my own message. I started really crying. I was just like, wow, this is a good message. I came down. I was like, hallelujah. And amen. And hey, there's nothing wrong with admitting that, all right? God works, right? And I met with old friends. I got to shop a bit. I ate lots of cheesesteaks and a lot of good American food. I got to meet the parents. All right, calm down, y'all. Calm down. All right, I met the parents, though, and she got to meet my parents. And it was real good. It was good. God was answering prayer. Thank you, church, for praying. I heard many of you guys were praying. And we certainly saw that because we're so surprised by how things went. And I think God really prepared and orchestrated things. Even before I met her parents, Aaron's cousins had initiated a meeting with me a few days before that. And we hadn't planned on that, but that's something that they wanted to do. I think God put it on their hearts because we were praying. And they met me, gave a good report to her parents. And I met her brother the day before, and he gave a good report to her parents. And I think those words that they heard from the cousins and from the brother really opened up their hearts, you know, made them realize that, you know, I'm a very nice guy. A Christian And the first thing her mom said when she saw me was, wow, you look a lot better in person than you do in the pictures. And hallelujah, you know, because you know why? Because I think I'm a pretty photogenic guy. And if she's saying that means I look better than what I think I look. So hallelujah. Anyway, that kind of helped break the ice, and it was good. I want to stop embarrassing Aaron here. She doesn't like it when I share some of this stuff in public. So anyway, I got to do a lot of things in New York. And although I loved every moment of my visit there, I especially loved doing one thing. And that was worshiping God at Brooklyn Tabernacle. All right, one of I mentioned before, is one of my favorite places to worship in all the world. Because the presence of God is there is so powerful. And I went to Brooklyn Tabernacle on Sunday with a few friends. And it happened to be the recording service for their new album. So they had all the stages set up real nice. They had cameras everywhere. And they had us they recorded our clapping. So the pastor was like, okay, I need y'all to clap right now. When I raise my hand, y'all clap. And keep clapping until I lower my hand. And so we all clapped until he lowered his hand. And we kept clapping until he lowered his hand. And then they recorded that. Apparently, the first recording wasn't good, so then he made us do it again. Anyway, it was all interesting, all right? It was real good. But I can't lie. I went twice, and I liked it more when I went to Brooklyn Tabernacle on Tuesday. Because Tuesday evening is when they have their prayer meeting. And it's at their prayer meeting that the presence of God is just so powerful and tangible and just makes me just break down each time when I'm in that kind of presence of God. And when I entered the Tuesday prayer meeting, as usual, I heard black women, Asian girls, white men in their t-shirts and jeans and in their three-piece suits. And they were all raising their voices in prayer and intercession. And it wasn't fake. It wasn't rehearsed. They weren't trying to impress anybody. It was a sound of people freely expressing their hearts, their cries, their needs, their desires, their praises to God. And as I saw that, as I was standing in that, the presence of God was just thick in the room. And all throughout the night, I couldn't hear my voice during praise because the people would just praise God in such unison, you know. And even during prayer times, I couldn't really hear myself pray because everyone was really crying out to the Lord. It was such a blessing. And some people would see this kind of prayer and say things like, oh no, that's too noisy. I can't pray when it's that noisy. I can't even think when it's that noisy. Other people might say, they're getting too emotional. Faith is not about emotions. It's not about feelings. Faith precedes feelings. Are they even praying rightly? Do they even know what they're saying? Oh, what is that? What language is that? What is that? I like to pray soft. Focused. Now, I personally believe that there are times when we need to pray quietly and focused, right? But there are other times when we need to learn to call on the name of the Lord. Amen? In fact, what I saw in Brooklyn Tabernacle and what we see here on Friday nights here at JSEM is not something new. All right? It actually goes way back into biblical times. Way before Christ was even born. Way before King David. Way before even Moses. If you look in Genesis chapter 4, verse 25 and 26, it says, Adam lay with his wife again. Mm-hmm. And she gave birth to a son and named him Seth, saying, God has granted me another child in place of Abel since Cain killed him. Seth also had a son and he named him Enosh. And then it says, at that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. Before Bible was available, before the first preacher was ordained, before praise songs were sung with a guitar, a godly group of men and women began calling on the name of the Lord. The Hebrew word that's used many times in the Old Testament when people called upon God is usually a word that means to cry out, to implore aid. And this is the kind of prayer that touches God, when you call out to him. Charles Spurgeon said, the best style of prayer is that which cannot be called anything else but a cry. You know, I get blessed the most, not when people are carefully wording their prayers and saying it quietly in some room, but I get blessed the most. There's something that awakens in me when I see somebody cry out to the Lord. When I see somebody calling on God. If their child is in trouble, if their child is living in rebellion, then they ought to cry out to God in desperation. Why would they reserve back their emotions and the urgency that is at hand? And that's what Jeremiah 33:3 says. The word of the Lord today says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Amen? You know, God is not apathetic. And through the centuries, God has made it clear that he is ready to help and guide us. And if we call out to him, he promises to answer. All right, look to your neighbor and tell him that. If we call out to him, he promises to answer. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, Moses' leadership was filled with countless times when he had to call out to the Lord. He didn't like just quietly pray. Right? When people started rebelling, when they started grumbling, when they were ready to kill him, Moses cried out to God. And God was faithful to answer and help each time. You don't have a record ever of Moses crying out to God and saying, and the word of God saying, and God did not show up. Or God did not answer that plea. Right? God was faithful to help each time. And when later on in Israel's history, they stopped calling out to God, that's when we begin to see them suffer costly defeats and embarrassment and eventual exile. When we call out to God, he answers us. But you know, brothers and sisters, the flip side is also true. When we stop calling out to him, there's nothing. We're left to our own ways. Defeat and humiliation soon follow after. Just as it did for the Israelites. You know, the Bible tells us Satan is the father of lies. And one lie that Satan uses over and over again is, don't call. Don't ask. What's the use? You don't have to depend on God. You got yourself. You've been through this before. You can get through it again. You'll be all right with him if you just rely on your own cleverness and strength. And the truth is, the devil is not at all threatened by your efforts, by your talents, by your abilities. But he is absolutely terrified of the one man or woman who cries out to God. You might have very little talent. You might not even be very smart. By the way, when I met Aaron's father, you know, he told Aaron the next day, he was like, Christian is a smart man. And I was like, wow, Aaron's father is very observant. He has a discerning spirit. Hallelujah. But even if you are not that smart, all right, and you don't have much talent, you can't play the guitar, you can't do much, you will be a threat to Satan. You will scare Satan if you simply get into a pattern of calling out to God. You know, David was such a man. Psalm 4:3 says, know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call to him. David had confidence that God would hear him each time he calls. You know, David, when he lived his life, the odds were stacked against him. King Saul tried to kill him and was in pursuit of David's life at one point. But you know what? He never shied away in fear. Even as a youth, even as a little child, the lion will come and try to eat the sheep. David didn't shy away. David didn't say, hey, there's a lion, and start running away. He went after that lion, all right? Because the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in strength. Because David knew how to call upon the Lord. He lived with this great courage because he had faith that God will answer him without fail when he called out to the Lord. Think about this. Think about it. Well, you know what amazes me about David? This is just a side note. I love war movies. You know, I mean, you watch war movies, man, war is so crazy. You know, you watch Braveheart and you watch Mel Gibson running into that battle. He's like, ah, and he's running into this battle. And you're just like, man, when you get in there, like, who do you know? Like, who, you might just hit your friend by accident. You know, you're like, ah, oh, I'm sorry, man. Sorry, David. And you know, David's like, ah, you know, like it could get crazy in there, right? And somebody could stab you from the back. I mean, from the side. I mean, it gets, war is crazy. And you got to think about how many battles David was in, or even Joshua. How many battles they were in, and yet they never lost a limb. They never had a fatal wound. They lived a long life. You know, there was a song in the Bible mentioned. It says, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands. I mean, David will go into battle and he has slain tens of thousands of his enemies, of Philistines and all the different kinds of people that were attacking the Israelites. That's a lot of people. That's a lot. I mean, it wasn't all like little short, you know, warriors. He had to fight big warriors. He had to fight muscular warriors. And he would win. And how did he even go into battle knowing that he would win? How did he even go in there that courageous? Well, that's because he knew that whenever he called on the Lord, God will answer. All he did, I'm sure, before he went into battle, people were all scared. They're like, King David, I don't know if we're going to make it this time, you know. And King David's like, man, just chill. Look, just call on the Lord. Trust me. And just follow my lead. David went in and he even slayed a giant, Goliath, at one point, right? Just called on the name of the Lord. Psalm 14:4 says, will evildoers never learn? Those who devour my people as men eat bread and who do not call on the Lord. The Bible verse here in Psalm 14:4 is saying that evildoers, wicked people, are people who do not call on the Lord. If you think about it, salvation itself is impossible until a person humbly calls upon the name of the Lord. The Word of God says in Acts 2:21, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Right? God has promised to be rich in mercy to those who call on his name. But people who are evil, who are filled with all kinds of evil and unbelievers, hypocrites, they may even do many spiritual things to try out Christianity or to appear spiritual. But one thing they will never do, they will never humble themselves and call on the name of the Lord. Evildoers are described in the Bible as those who do not call on the name of the Lord. But a people of God, we are called to do this very thing. You know, when you praise God on Sundays let me ask you a question. When you praise God on Sundays or are at a revival meeting, have you ever felt like your praise is just fresh? Like you're singing that song for the first time ever? Like, you know, you sang that song a million times, and all of a sudden this one Sunday, boom, it just like hits you, and you're just like, wow, that's a good song. It has nothing to do with the song, right? But it's because God's doing a fresh work in your life. And when you see fresh intervention, fresh grace, fresh mercy, fresh power, when you see God do a new work in your life, you know what happens? New praise springs up in your heart. And that's the kind of worship and praise that God desires. Psalm 50:15 says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me. You know, whenever we get a little haughty and prideful or self-sufficient, you know what God does? Sometimes God will send trouble our way. Have you ever had that happen to you? How many of you guys know that God will send trouble your way sometimes when you get a little prideful? To show us how inadequate we really are apart from God. And sometimes, you know, God permits trouble to come into our lives. God may permit an attack of the enemy. All right, he doesn't applaud it. He doesn't rejoice over it. He just permits it. Because he knows that he can employ it in order to cause us to call out to him and to get back into that pattern of dependence upon him. Because when we call out to him, there will be constant intervention of God in our lives. New grace, new praise. We're able to live life with that kind of fresh praise and fresh faith. And brothers and sisters, our churches today, we need to pray. We need to get into the pattern of calling on the Lord, and we need to stay on that pattern of calling on the Lord. You know, when I went to America, I hate to say it, but America has so many churches that simply do not pray. All right? And I'm not trying to be judgmental. All right? I'm just telling it like it is. Because when I went, all right, there's no prayer. There's no prayer. Prayer meetings are empty. People can't even pray on Sundays. There's evil spirits, I believe, also. There's religious spirits to get in. And they turn everything into a ritual. Either a ritual or legalism. And people lose the heart of Christianity, which is a relationship with the Lord. And America is so filled with churches that do not pray. But God is calling the church to rise up, to be different. Christianity is not about religion. It's not about some traditions that's passed down from your family. Christianity is about calling on the name of the Lord. That's what it's all about. And if you really want to know how a church is really doing, you just do one thing. You don't look at the pastor's sermon, all right? Because, all right, I'll be real with you. All right? There's a great church in New York City called Redeemer Presbyterian. And I love the pastor, Pastor Tim Keller. And I love his messages. And I even like the praise a little bit because they have a jazz feel to the praise. But no one really sings, by the way. But I love everything about that church. But I cannot say that I sense God's presence every time I'm there. Because every time I'm there, I fall asleep. And the only time I get blessed by his messages is when I listen to it on my podcast, like on my iPod, when I'm like commuting to work here in Korea. He has great messages, right? But you know how you can tell how a church is really doing? You don't look at the church's pastor's, church pastor's sermon. You don't look at the praise band. You know? A lot of people say, oh, they got great praise. I'm going to that church. All right? Mm-mm. You don't look at the attendance even. You just look at the church's prayer meetings. It will give you a hard knock assessment of how a church is really doing. Because if you look at a prayer meeting, you can tell who's really popular at that church. What that church is really about. Because a prayer meeting is all about Jesus. And ain't nothing else more than that. I know y'all don't come here because we got good praise here. Because most times I lead, I can't even keep the rhythm. Hallelujah. But y'all come out because you want to pray. If a church is not praying and people don't have a deep desire for God, you know, what does it matter how many people come out, you know? I'm not saying church numbers aren't important. You know, so many times we get hung up on numbers, you know? So many times I'm tempted myself, you know, that people ask me, how's JSCM doing? And I say, well, you know, there's 100, 120 people coming out. They're like, no, how's JSCM doing? I was like, oh, yeah. Why did I answer you like that, you know? Like, why do we answer people like that? Because we're so caught up in these numbers. That's not a true assessment of how a church is doing, right? You just look at prayer meetings. If you think about the angels of heaven, I don't think that they are talking about how nice our chairs are or how many people are showing up on Sundays. The angels of God are not impressed by the sanctuary lighting, right? They're looking at the hearts of the people. Are the people of God there calling out to the Lord? Jeremiah 33:3. I'll read it again. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. Psalm 145:18 says, the Lord is near to all who call on him. It goes further. It says, to all who call on him in truth. Now, there's a way to call on him, and there's a wrong way to call on him. Make sure you're calling on him in truth, because the Lord is near to all who call on him in truth. And when you call on the Lord, there's a promise, brothers and sisters. If you call on the Lord, there's a promise, but if you don't call on him, there's nothing. It's like getting Domino's pizza delivered to your door. If you call Domino's, you're going to get a fresh pizza. But if you don't call, you get nothing. Have you thought about that? How simple that is? I ain't never seen anybody sitting on their behind on a Friday evening expecting a pizza without making a call. But how many Christians live their lives that way? If you keep calling on his name, he will keep on answering you. You know, some people call on him once and then they stop. And then they wonder why God's not moving in their life. They go, man, I'm just waiting for God to do something in my life. I don't know why. Hey, pray for me, man. Well, pray for yourself, bro. Yeah, I'm praying for a lot of people. And I'm saying I don't want to pray for you, but look, pray for yourself. You don't think God's going to answer your prayer? Call on the name of the Lord. If you keep on calling him, he will keep on coming. He will keep on drawing near to you. He will keep on strengthening you. He will keep on guiding you. But the moment you stop, there's no more promise for you to hold on to. There's nothing. There's no promise connected with not calling on the Lord. And that's my message tonight. Call on the Lord, brothers and sisters. If you called on the Lord and nothing's happening, Well, call on him again. Just keep calling out to him. Look, when I call on the Lord for my new computer that I just got, you know, last week, I called on him for 2.5 weeks. Ain't nothing happened. And nothing happened. Did I stop calling on the Lord? No. I need a new computer bad. So I kept calling. I kept calling on the Lord. And where the devil was like, God ain't going to answer that call. And God's not going to answer that call. I said, no, devil, you a liar. If I keep calling on to him, he's going to answer me. And surely he did. He brought that provision. I mean, I've seen this happen over and over again in my life. But still, it's amazing how, you know, after 2 weeks, I started to kind of lose faith a little bit. Because Satan was attacking me, right? But I kept holding on. And that's what you got to do sometimes. You got to just keep calling. If nothing's happening, keep calling. If you've been calling out on the Lord for your father's salvation and nothing's happening, don't stop calling. Because there's no promise associated with that. But keep calling out. Keep calling out. God will answer. If he can provide me with a new MacBook Pro, he'll surely provide your father with salvation. He'll provide a revival for your family. And right now, I would like to say, what a difference a year makes. Huh? Huh? What a difference a year makes, right? Hallelujah. You know, this is the message I preached. I don't know if you guys remember, exactly 1 year ago. I preached the same message. Not everybody here was here. Very few people were here. But some of y'all heard this message. And I got it from a book called Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, right? I read it exactly 1 year ago. And if you remember, let's jog our memories all together. Let's go back in the time machine of Christian Lee. Let's go back together right now. 1 year ago today, September of last year, JSCM was going through a big change. All right. Our beloved brother, Pastor David, the one who started JSCM 5 years previous, he was leaving to start a new church plant. All right. And he wanted to start the first independent English ministry church in Seoul. And he had my full support and blessing. When I prayed about it, I felt the call of God on his life. He had my full support and blessing. And this was how God was calling Pastor David. But unfortunately, this change made many people uncomfortable. It forced everyone out of their complacency. And unfortunately, it also left some people disillusioned and heartbroken. I remember, it was hard. It wasn't easy. It was messy. And as this transition was taking place, I did decide in my heart at one point to help the new church plant. Because I got excited about it. And I had a close relationship with Pastor David at that time. Well, I still do. I still do. And you know, and I was especially close to him around that time, right? And, well, until he got married, of course. But no. I still do. But I was especially close to him. And I wanted to go help him. I like Pastor David. You know, I like working with him. He's a funny guy. You know, he grew up around the Philly area, you know. We got that same camaraderie. But when I prayed about it, about going with Pastor David, God didn't give me peace. And after a few weeks, I knew with certainty that God was calling me to stay at JSCM. So I obeyed. And although it was technically a church plant, right? And I believe spiritually it was a church plant. I believe it was a church plant. But some of y'all, you know, y'all, whatever you wanted to call it, all right? Many people saw that as a church split, all right? And the effects of many people leaving did devastate JSCM. Or it appeared to devastate JFCM. People thought, you know, there's no hope for this church. And then people thought this church was going to, you know, we got the pastors. You know, Pastor Sam had decided to stay and he was running around. He didn't know what was going to happen, right? We didn't know what was going to happen. We were all scared, right? Many people around me were grieved at what was happening. But when I sought God's face, I knew that God had ordained it this way. God had called Pastor David to start this new church plant. God's blessing was upon the church plant, but God's blessing was also upon JSCM. He wanted to do something new in JSCM. He wanted to do something new with this new church plant. So what did he do? He shook things up. He removed the old ways and put everybody in a new environment. And what happened? Wow. So much more than if nothing had happened last year. Amen? So much more people were touched. So many more people reached. And around that time, which was September of last year, we had a retreat. And God showed forth that he was indeed doing something new and that he had not abandoned JSCM. Because through an anointed guest speaker, there was a mighty outpouring of God's spirit at that retreat. People caught the fire of God. Many people got the gift of tongue. People began seeing visions. Fantastic signs and wonders began happening. People started drawing deeper into relationship with God. All started rolling with that retreat. It just came at the perfect time too. And then for me personally, right after this retreat, I finished the book, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. And through it, God began birthing a vision in my spirit for JSCM. And he wanted me to call the church to pray, to raise up a prayer movement. And he put that strongly on my heart. And I remember I shared the vision with the pastors to see what they thought about it. And they also had it on their hearts. They were very excited about it. So although it was difficult getting it started, after a month, we began these weekly Friday night meetings about 1 year ago today. About 1 year ago, this beginning of October last year. And the fire from the outpouring at the retreat was filling the hearts of many people with faith. People who were passive became passionate. People who were living a double life began to put away their sinful lifestyle. Non-Christians who had just come to see it, check out the church, they began trusting their lives to the Lord. People that were changed, they came out to the Friday prayer meetings. And more people were hungry for God. They came out to the Friday prayer meetings. And fantastic things began to happen. And let me recount for you right now the fantastic things that I've seen in this last year, because what a difference a year makes. Let me just remind you of some of the things that we've seen this past year, in case y'all forgot. All right, number one that sticks out for me, right, is deliverance ministry. Obviously, because, you know, I'm leading it. It's crazy. All right. So deliverance ministry sticks out, right? The prayer team has been able to help over 15 people this past year. And I've been able to personally help more people when I went to New York and different places. People have been set free from eating disorders, from sexual sins, from drug abuse, from pride, anger issues, depression, generational curses, soul ties, etc., etc. And it has been my joy to lead and learn about this deliverance ministry in the last year. And I believe that it began as the outpouring of the Spirit and as our church began to call on the name of the Lord. All right, because it didn't happen until end of November. 2 months of us calling on the name of the Lord, God started to do this work of deliverance. The hurt and the wounded, they're rising up to heal now. Those living in shame and shackles, they're being set free, and they're giving others hope of freedom. It's resulting in emotionally and spiritually healthier leaders and church members. Hallelujah. Deliverance ministry. All from the result of this past year of us calling on the name of the Lord. Right? And many people in this room have gone through a deliverance session. And some are, you know, wanting to get it done. All right, we'll prayerfully, you know, go through it, consider it. Prayer movement. Number two, prayer movement. Right? Because we realize the only way we can get people to pray is to pray. Right? So whether it was two people, three people, we prayed. And the more we pray, more people came to pray. Prayer movement only begins as you pray. It's weird, right? How do we don't have a prayer movement at our church. Well, you got to pray. Well, how can we pray when there's no prayer movement? Well, you got to pray, brother. You want prayer to rise up? You got to pray. You want to see prayer, you got to pray. And this prayer movement's been overflowing to different churches, to our families, to our friends. All right, number three, we've seen prophetic gifts and signs beginning here at this church, beginning to manifest, right? Most notable have been visions, right? There have been a lot of sisters at our church that have been able to see clear visions. Some of them have given us breakthroughs during a deliverance session. We get stuck and we're like, man, what's wrong with this? You know, I'm thinking in my head, what's wrong with this girl? Why can't we, you know, get a breakthrough here? Why is these spirits not leaving? Why is she still under the shame and bondage, you know? And then, you know, we'll pray. And all of a sudden, like, one of our sisters, like Monica, will get a vision. And then she'd be like, whoa, I got this vision. All right, share it. She shares the vision. And then we tell the girl. And then the girl's like, oh, that vision reminds me of my childhood when this and this happened. Actually, I never dealt with that hurt. And then we'll be like, oh, okay, that makes sense. We deal with the hurt. And there's a breakthrough. All right, visions. Dreams. People also begin to get words of knowledge, right? Prophetic signs and wonders. Prophetic gifts and signs. A gift of tongue, right? I mean, last year, about a little over a year ago, we didn't have anybody really praying in tongue here at church. All right, come on, just be real. All right, people were like, Lord, that was our tongue, right? That was our tongue. Just fillers, right? But look, man, it's bizarre. It's so bizarre. People in America, they really hate the gift of tongue. It's a huge stumbling block. They don't want the Holy Spirit because they don't want the gift of tongue. I'll tell you right now, it is so controversial, so bizarre. They absolutely hate it. They hate it. I use that word because that's how they feel about it. They don't like the gift of tongue. But you know what? It's biblical, baby. It's all over the Bible. What do you want? What do you want? Like, deal with it. Get over it. I mean, you know, when the Holy Spirit comes, people prophesy. They speak in languages they don't know. Paul said, I speak in tongues. I'm glad I speak in tongues more than any of you. And when I speak in tongues, my mind is unfruitful, but my spirit is edified. You know? There are different purposes for different forms of gift of tongue that come. All right, but there's a legitimate use of these gifts and manifestation of these gifts today. And it has abounded in our church. And as people again to give the tongue, people's prayer lives are getting on fire. You know, I see girls that were afraid. They couldn't pray two sentences when I asked them to pray for a meal. And now they, you know, when somebody's being sent off, they're like holding that girl and holding each other. And they're just praying for like 30 minutes until that person's like all sweaty and nasty. And like, get off me. I don't want no more. You know, there's people praying. There's a stronger anointing on our church. God's raising up new leaders. People who didn't even think of themselves as leaders are being raised up. We saw evidence of this on the Philippines mission trip just a couple months ago. While we're there, you know, half the team. You know, I can tell there's a greater anointing. The anointing's getting greater. Okay, you know what I can tell? Right? Because the first time I went, right, when we pray for people, like two people kind of like, oh, surajasa, like they kind of fainted. And I was like, oh, that's kind of weird. Never had that happen. Second time I went, when I pray for people, only when I pray for people, people will get slain in the spirit. People fall down, people start crying, people get knocked out, people just slain in the spirit. Look, I didn't push them, I didn't do nothing, all right? I didn't tell them, hey, you're going to fall right now. I lay my hand on you. You must obey me. I didn't do any of that. They just fell, right? It's not my fault. But this third time we went this past summer, how do I know the anointing is getting greater? I'm praying for people getting slain in the spirit. I look over, other people are falling and getting slain in the spirit. I'm like, what's going on? Celine's praying for people getting slain in the spirit. Aaron's praying for people getting slain in the spirit. Joe Michael prays for somebody gets slain in the spirit. I'm like, what's going on? It's greater anointing. No? More and more people are getting filled with the spirit. And God's raising up new leaders. People getting different kinds of anointing. Some of the anointing, it's a powerful anointing that brings the fire of God or brings the power of God, brings a manifestation of His Spirit, and they fall. And some people, another thing that is fantastic thing that has happened this past year is people have found their life partners. Okay, maybe this is only applies to me. All right. But look, I was just preparing a sermon. I thought about it. If I hadn't stayed, and if there weren't a prayer movement at this church, I don't think I would have fell in love with Aaron the way I did. I got to admit it. If I didn't stay, obviously I wouldn't have met Aaron. Okay, because I met her the day after that retreat. That was her first Sunday at the church. All right. And second of all, if there wasn't a prayer movement, her life would have been changed the way it did. Yeah, people found their life partners. Hallelujah. And you know what? More of you will find your life partner. Amen? And these are some of the many fantastic things that have happened in the last year. What a difference a year makes as a result. Why? A result of what? Of JSCM calling on the name of the Lord. That's it. It's as simple as that. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. What a difference a year makes. And you know what, brothers and sisters? The best is yet to come. We just got to keep on calling out to the Lord. But the moment we stop is the moment God's hand and God's presence begins to lift. Brothers and sisters, let us be devoted to personal and corporate prayer. Let us call out to the Lord. Let us call out to Him. You know, the funny thing is, after I read Pastor Jim Simla's book last year, I wanted to see him preach in Korea so badly. I couldn't go back to New York at that time. I just started calling on the name of the Lord for God to bring him to Korea. All right. Funny thing, because how faithful is our God? A month later, he came to Korea for the very first time. And he preached at Yeouido Full Gospel Church. Pastor David called me up. He's like, hey, Pastor Simla's in town. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, Pastor Simla's in town. He's going to be preaching at Full Gospel. Hey, you, I got VIP seats. You want to come? I was like, oh, hook it up, brother. All right. And just a bunch of us, Pastor Paul, a few of us, until, you know, we went. And, you know, and Pastor Simla just preached on the fire of God. I received it. I went up for the altar call, and I was blessed. And it was so good, I couldn't get enough. So what, you know what I did? I called on the name of the Lord again. I said, God, bring Pastor Simla back to Korea. And God's a faithful God, amen. Because about 5-6 months later, God brought him back again to preach at Onuri. Right? And I even got to meet him at a pastor's luncheon. God answers prayer, amen. And I mentioned Pastor Simbala here to close because there is a mighty revival happening right now in the city of Seoul. I don't know if your eyes are open to it. Okay, when I was visiting New York, I was telling people about it, and they were like, what are you talking about? Last thing I hear, Korea is spiritually going down the drain. Nothing's happening there. It's dead there. People just getting plastic surgeries, and men are just sleeping around, adultery everywhere. And I was like, oh, well, I don't know. That's what you might hear on CNN. But if you're in tune with the Holy Spirit, that's not what he's telling you. There's a mighty revival happening right now in the city of Seoul, and God's bringing powerful speakers from all over the world to come and speak in Seoul. All right? New York didn't have the amount of guest speakers we had in the last year. All right? No other city in the world, I think. I don't know if that's statistically true. It's a blanketing statement, all right? I'm making it in faith right now. All right, well, look, we had Heidi Baker. We had Pastor Simbala here. We had Sean Bolts. And we had all these, like, leaders. Peter Wagner. We had the Transformation Revival, you know. Hillsong United came through. Hillsong came through, you know. We got Brian Kim in the house with Cry Korea, Revive Yourself. Well, they're starting to listen, you know, because there's a revival that is happening. And I personally enjoy when, you know, these guest speakers come because they preach in English. You know, good for me, right? And 2 years ago when I first arrived in Korea, a friend with the gift of prophecy told me that God gave her a vision of a mighty revival falling upon Korea. And she said that God would use people from the outside to make it happen. She distinctly remembers that. She kept telling me that. Even when I went back to New York, I called her on the phone. She was, you know, we're just talking, and she was like, oh, how's JCM doing? How's Jubilee doing? She was all excited. And I was like, yeah, I told her. And she's like, oh, that's so great. I can't wait. Can't wait to go and visit. She's like, remember that vision? I was like, yeah, I remember that vision. I've been holding on to that vision. God's going to bring a revival to this nation, and he's going to use people from the outside to do it. People like Pastor David. People like Pastor Sam. People like Brian Kim. People from the outside are going to play a key role in this coming revival. Question is, do you want to be a forerunner of this revival? Do you want to go forward and lead the way? Or do you want to just wait until it arrives? For the Korean expatriates here in the room, I believe that God is raising us up to be the Nehemiahs of this generation, to return to our Jerusalem and rebuild the walls of the church. And I personally believe that soon that we will even help restore the walls of the churches that were torn down in Pyongyang 50 years ago to the original Jerusalem of Korea. Brothers and sisters, let us continually call out to the Lord so that JSCM will grow and mature and fulfill the potential, the seeds of potential that are planted here. And let us call out to the Lord for the revival of Korea, that a mighty revival that will sweep this nation will come forth, will birth forth, and will go out and touch the missions fields for God's glory. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray.